The Atrocity Archives, Disc 5.
Our hotel has a bijou bar and a breakfast room, but no restaurant. So it seems natural that after running off our copies, we should go home, head for our respective rooms, freshen up, and head out on the town to find somewhere to eat. And maybe share a drink or two. Those hours in the basement of horrors are going to give me bad dreams tonight, and I'd be surprised if Mo is any better. I spend half an hour soaking in the bathtub with a copy of Surreal Calculus and the Navigation of Everett Wheeler Continua, hoping to brush up on my dinner table patter, then dry myself, pull on a clean pair of chinos and an open-necked shirt, and head upstairs. Mo is waiting at the bar with a cup of coffee and a copy of the Herald Tribune. She's wearing the same evening out on the town outfit as last time. She folds the newspaper and nods at me. "Want to try that Indonesian place we passed?" I ask her. "Why not?" She finishes the coffee quickly. "Is it raining outside?" "Wasn't last time I looked." She stands up gracefully and pulls her coat on. "Let's go." The nights are drawing in, and the evening air is cool and damp. I'm still self-conscious about navigating around the roads. Not only do they run on the wrong side, but they've got separate bike lanes everywhere, and, to make matters worse, separate tram lanes that sometimes don't go in the same direction as the rest of the traffic. It makes crossing the road an exercise in head twitching, and I nearly get mown down by a girl on a bicycle riding without lights in the dusk. But we make it to the tram stop more or less intact, and Mo doesn't laugh at me out loud.
"Do you always jerk around like that?"
"Only when I'm trying to avoid the feral man-eating mopeds. Is this tram... ah." Two stops later, we get off and head for that Indonesian place we passed earlier. They have a vacant table, and we have a meal. I turn on my new Palm Tops anti-sound, and Mo talks to me over her satay.
"Was that what you were hoping to find at the museum?"
I dribble peanut sauce over a skewer before replying. "It was what I was hoping not to find, really." She has her back to the plate glass window, and I have a decent view of the main road behind her shoulder, which is important, and I keep glancing that way because I am on edge. Our friendly neighborhood abductors seem to go to work at dusk, and when all's said and done, this is a stakeout, and Mo is the goat. I look back at her. She's very decorative for a goat. Most goats don't wear ethnic tops, large silver earrings, and friendly expressions. On the other hand, at least we know we're dealing with something profoundly unpleasant, which means that Carnate Gecko gets something solid to chew on, and we've got a lead to follow up.
"Assuming it doesn't follow us up instead."
Her expression clouds over in an instant.
"Tell me the truth, Bob."
My mouth turns dry. This is a moment I've been dreading even more than the discovery in the basement.
"What? Why are they after me?"
"Oh, that truth." I manage to breathe again.
"Your research, and the stuff you were really working on in the States. You know about that?"
She looks tense, and I suddenly wonder, how many secrets are we keeping from each other?
"Angleton told me about it. Black Chamber notified us when they deported you. But don't look so startled. About the restricted theoretical work on probability manipulation, lucky vectors, fate quantization. It's all classified, but it's not... No, what I mean to say is, they don't like us running around on their turf, but information sharing goes on at different levels."
I point my skewer at her and dissemble creatively.
"That stuff is fairly serious juju in our field.
The Pentagon plays with it. We've got it. A couple of other countries have occult operations groups who make use of destiny entanglement fields, but the likes of Yusuf Karadawi can't get his hands on it without a hell of a lot of reverse engineering. Any more than the provisional IRA ever got their hands on cruise missile technology. The difference is, to build a cruise missile takes a ton of aerospace engineers, an advanced electronics industry, and factories. Whereas to build a scalar field that can locally boost probability coefficients attached to a Wigner's friend observer, say to allow a suicide bomber to walk right through a ring of bodyguards as if they aren't there, it takes a couple of theoreticians and one or two field ops. Occult weapons are so much more portable that you can think in terms of stealing the infrastructure, if you've got people who can understand it.
as most non-governmental activist groups rely on cannon fodder so dumb they have mom and dad tattooed on their knuckles so the cops know who they belong to, that isn't usually much of a threat. But she raises her last satay and swallows the skewered morsel. This time there is. I see motion outside the window. See a familiar face, little more than a pale blur in the darkness, glance inside as it walks past. Evidently, I mumble, feeling guilty.
So your bosses decided to trail me in public and see what they picked up while trying to identify the group by way of the museum basement, she adds briskly. How many people are watching us, Bob?
At least one right now, I say, heart bouncing around my ribcage. That I know of, I mean. This is supposed to be a full top-and-tail job, guards outside the hotel and round-the-clock watch on your movements. Same as most politicians at risk of assassination get. Not that we're expecting any suicide bombers, I add hastily.